I don't know who painted them, but they are there and give me much delight, and satisfy to so great an extent my love for paintings and pictures. There are also many little curios that would make the heart of an aesthetic person rejoice and feel glad. My music room has in it instruments of various kinds, wonderful in sound and construction. I play some of them and also sing in my weak way, as you say on earth, but I enjoy the music more than I can tell you, and so do many spirits who call to see me. I have other rooms, such as repose rooms, a library, and rooms for meditation and prayer. My library is full of books dealing with subjects that are to me now so congenial and necessary, for they tell me of God's love and care for His children. There are also books that deal with the laws of the spirit world and of the other parts of the universe, but these latter I do not read much, for my whole study is so given to the laws pertaining to our own spirit world and its relationship to your world, and the love of God, and the love that should exist among mortals and spirits, that I do not find time for these other studies, and, in fact, I have not the inclination. There are books that you might call fiction, but really are not, for they describe the actual experience or spirits in such a vivid and interesting way, that if they were portrayed in your earthly books you would think it fiction. Not all the books in my library deal with the higher or more substantial things of this spirit life, for we have our recreation for the mind, in the way of variety in reading, the same as you do on earth, and we are the stronger and happier for it. So you see, if you were here, I know that the library would be your place of rest from your work, although I know you like music very much. We have a dining room also, but we do not need kitchens, as nothing is cooked, but everything eaten just as we get it from the trees and vines. We do not eat meat or bread or potatoes or things of 77, that kind. Our food is principally fruits and nuts, and such fruits you never saw and never will until you come with me. The fruits, mostly, are pears and grapes and oranges and pomegranates, of course, not just the same as you know them on earth. I merely use these words of description to give you some idea of what they are like. We have them in great variety and always fresh and ripe. The nuts, too, are of many kinds and qualities. None need nutcrackers for them to be broken in order to be eaten. There are no cakes or candies or anything of that nature. We do not actually eat these things with our teeth and palate and use intestinal organs, as you do, but we inhale, as it were, the delicious flavors and aromas of the fruits, and strange as it may seem to you, we are just as much satisfied, and probably more so than you when you eat them with your physical organs. I cannot more fully explain to you just how this thing is, but, as we say, we eat the fruits and nuts. We drink pure water, and nothing else. And spirits who say they have wines and other beverages, tell what I have never seen nor heard of since I have been in the spirit world. Of course, I do not know everything that exists in all parts of this great world of spirits. And this water is so pure and satisfying, that I cannot imagine any spirit would want anything else to drink. But, yet, as I say, I do not know as to this. We do not actually drink the water, for we have not the internal organs that you have in the physical body. But we seem to absorb it in our system in some way that gives all the delight and satisfaction that you enjoy when you drink water. We often have our teas, as your fashionable women on earth might say, and very many of our spirit friends attend and help make the gatherings enjoyable and happy ones. Of course, the male spirits attend, for I must tell you that in this life there are no clubs or businesses that keep the sexes apart, as in your life. I mean that the two sexes are more together, and enjoy the society of each other to a far greater degree than in your earth life. Of course, I do not mean that these spirits have all found their soul mates, for that is not true, but each enjoys the company of the others, as friends and spirits having similar desires and aspirations. My companions are very similar in their love for the Father and in the development of their souls, and in their thoughts and desires for things spiritual. We discuss many questions pertaining to the soul and its progress, and to the love of the Father, and to the love of spirits and mortals. While we are joyous and happy beyond compare, the Paget Messages 1915, yet we do not indulge in frivolities or thoughts that have not a tendency to elevate us to higher things. We have music and dancing, but our dancing is different from yours. We merely exercise ourselves in graceful and artistic movements, without any contact of spirit bodies, or the embracing of each other. Of course, we hold hands as we dance, but no familiarity, as you would say, is indulged in. Well, I have a room for repose, where after working long and, to some extent, feeling tired, I rest on these couches that I tell you of. We do not sleep, but sometimes we go into a kind of dreamy state that gives us much refreshment and vigor. I am now resting from some hard work that I have been doing in your earth plane. I mean that when I am not writing to you, I am resting. So, you see, we are not enjoying one continuous condition of feeling, as that might become monotonous. I am now trying to help some of the spirits who have recently come over from your city, and who were acquaintances of yours on earth. I will tell you of them when next I write you. I am tired now and must stop. So with all my love, I am your own true and loving, Helen. I am here, your grandmother. Well, I am exceedingly happy and am glad that you are feeling so much improved. You had quite a long letter from Helen, and I hope a very satisfactory one. When she tries, she can write a very good letter. I am, as you know, in the same sphere with her and your mother, and we are all very much together, though we live in different homes. Helen, of course, is not as far advanced as I am, and neither is your mother, but, nevertheless, we are very congenial and love one another very much. Soon though, I will leave them for a higher sphere, and then they will miss me, I know, for they keep telling me so, and say that they will follow soon after, and I believe that they will, for they are wonderful spirits in love and faith, and these two possessions, as you know, are the open sesame to things and spheres higher. Well, my son, as Helen told you of her home, I want to tell you a little bit about the condition of the spirits in this sphere. No spirit who has not received this great love of the Father is here, or better, all spirits who are here have received and possess this love. Mere intellectual acquirements are not sufficient to fit a spirit for this sphere, and if a spirit ever realizes that the gate is shut to him, it is because he has not this love. And then the great 78, happiness that exists here could not be enjoyed by the mere mind, for the mind is limited in its capacity for happiness. Only the soul can enjoy this great happiness. I sometimes think that if mortals could be permitted, for one moment only, to realize what this happiness is, they would never let their lives slip by without making the greatest efforts to fit themselves for this great life in the celestial spheres. Our time here is occupied in helping one another to a great realization of the truths of our Father, and in helping spirits who live on lower planes than we do. I do not, now, very often come to the earth plane to help other spirits or mortals, but, of course, in your case I am so bound by my affections and desires, that I am with you quite often, and more so with that darling little daughter of yours, for as I have told you, I am her guardian angel, and so long as she lives, I will be with her to help and guide. We are engaged in the study of things that pertain more to the spiritual things of this life, than to studying the things of the other worlds of the universe. These things to us are what might be called the material things, and while a knowledge of them would be very interesting, yet our thoughts are turned to the more important truths of God. Yes, we all have our libraries and homes, as Helen has told you of, but, of course, there is a great difference in these homes, depending upon the amount of love which the spirit has in his soul. I am now living in a home that is so beautiful, that I could not in the short time that I will write tonight describe it to you, but soon I will in detail, and then you can realize what a home it is. Comment by Mr. Paget. Well, do not believe everything in the book you have been reading because it is said to be written by spirits, because, even if it is so written, the information given depends upon the condition and knowledge and belief of these spirits. Some may tell the exact truth as they conceive it to be, and yet it may not be the truth. Well, the explanation is, that the spirits whose communications you read have never learned the truth taught by the Master. They only know what they have learned from what they have read, or from what spirits, who have not this great knowledge, have told them. Any spirit who doesn't say that Jesus is the greatest spirit and teacher, and the only one of the great teachers who have ever lived on earth who shows the only and true way to the fathers, the Paget Messages 1915, Kingdom, has never learned this way, or come under the influence of the Master. So as far as that is concerned, do not pay any attention to what they say, or let their communications influence you, for these communications will not help you spiritually. There are certain great assembly places in the spirit world where the higher spirits meet and discuss the various plans that they think will benefit mankind, and also the lower spirits, and I believe the Master has attended these meetings and given his advice and encouragement. For you must remember that he is a teacher, not only of the way to God's kingdom, but also of the acquiring of those things that will help and benefit mortals and spirits who have not received this great love. Part of his mission is to make man and spirits happy, even though they may never become inhabitants of the celestial spheres. God loves all his creatures, and the Master, as his greatest instrument of love and beneficence, is doing all that he can to make these men and spirits happy, and, as some of these communications say, he has helped in many of these assemblies to do good for all. But, while this is so, yet he is the Father's greatest instrument in showing men the way to the higher life. Well, that is a question that seems hard to answer, but if these other great teachers will not believe the Master's message as to the only way to the kingdom, they alone know why and will have to bear the consequences. Not all spirits are able to see these great truths, any more than mortals are, and the mere fact that they have so much greater opportunity to learn these truths does not seem to persuade them to accept the same. The higher spheres in which these ancient seers and wise men live are not the celestial heavens, but spheres higher up in the spirit world, and no matter how high they may get in these spheres, they will never partake of the divine essence or nature of the Father which we have told you of, unless they seek for and obtain the divine love, and qualify themselves to enter the celestial heavens. They will always be nothing more than spirits possessed of the natural love which they had on earth, but, of course, more refined and free from sin, yet it is merely natural love and nothing more. Yes, I have met Paul and Peter and John and James and several others of lesser development. Yes, they are all in the celestial spheres, and very happy, yet they go to the lower spheres to do the work set before them. No spirit who has not 79 received this new birth is ever permitted to enter the celestial spheres, and, hence, the spirit that you speak of has never seen the home of John, and never will until redeemed by the love of the Father. I do not think these mortals who claim that they left their bodies and entered the celestial spheres, ever did so, and I have grave doubt that they ever entered the spiritual spheres above the third. This is a subject that I will write you more fully about some other time. I must stop now, and you must not write more tonight. So, with all my love, I am your own loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. March 17, 1915. I am here, Helen. I want to tell you of my experience in trying to show a spirit the way to God's love, which I had a short time ago. Well, I talked to this spirit of this love, and told her that the only way to happiness and to the celestial kingdom was through prayer and faith, and that all spirits who were inhabitants of those spheres had received this great love of the Father only through prayer and faith, and if she wanted to become an inhabitant of these heavens she must seek for this love in that way. She said that she was told when on earth that if she only observed rules and regulations of the church, and devoted herself to doing church work and looking after the interest of the church, so that it might be sustained and fostered, she would go to heaven just as soon as she had left the earth life, that would be all that would be required of her, and that no other seeking or striving after God's love would be necessary to enable her to get into the heavens where God and all his angels are. I told her that she must now realize that such performance of what she considered to be her duty had not been sufficient to carry her into these heavens, and that she must realize that something more was necessary. But she still persisted, that her belief in what she had been taught in the church could not be changed, and that very soon she would become an inhabitant of these higher spheres. So I left her, because I saw that at this time her belief had so fastened itself upon her convictions that it was useless to try to convince her that she was laboring under an absolutely false belief. So, I find that in this spirit plane there are many spirits in darkness and bigotry, which prevents them from seeing the truth and the Paget messages 1915, progressing to the higher spheres. I do not think that mortals, when they become spirits, have any better opportunity, for some time at least, to realize and accept these truths than they had when on earth, and the men or women who teach these things have a great sin to answer for. As Jesus said, "Cursed is he who believes and teaches these false doctrines." And I think he must have laid a special emphasis on the teaching as it affected not only the teacher, but many others who had faith in and accepted these teachings as true. I am so glad that I, when on earth, was never fully convinced of these church dogmas, as I consequently found it so much easier when I came to the spirit world to believe the truths as they are. Of course, I was exceptionally blessed in having your mother and grandmother, who are so well versed in these things, to show me the way, and then when Jesus came to me and corroborated what they had said, I could not help from believing. So you see the importance of learning these truths while on earth, for the greater our comprehension of them as mortals, the more easily will be our progression to the higher things of the spiritual life. Well, I thought I would tell you of this little incident as it shows you a great and necessary truth, and one which all men should know. So with all my love, I am your own true loving, Helen. I am here, Eugene Crowell, by permission of your band. I will write you a little, as I see that you are reading my book, and I am, consequently, interested in your right understanding of it. Well, as you have observed, I did not look upon Jesus as a god, but merely as a very high medium and in great favor with the high spirit powers. And that is correct so far as it goes, but he is more than that. He is the highest, and most enlightened and most powerful of all the spirits, and is the only one of all the great prophets or seers or reformers, or messengers of God, who ever taught the true and only way to the kingdom of heaven. And the sooner all spiritualists recognize and believe this fact, the sooner will true spiritualism be established on earth and the love of the Father be implanted in each soul. All these things have I learned since I came over here and had the opportunity of investigating the truth at first hand with all my powers, which are not limited or encumbered with the physical 80 senses. So you must, in reading my book, eliminate everything from what you may accept as true that teaches or intimates that Jesus is not the great master and teacher of the true and only way to God's love and salvation. Of course, all spirits do not understand or believe this. And when John said, "Try the spirits and learn whether they be true or not," he meant just what I have told you. I know now that Jesus is the most exalted Son of God, and while we are all his sons, yet none of us is so at one with him as the Master. So as you are investigating this question of spiritualism in true earnestness, I thought it best to tell you what I have learned, as I do not want any expression in my book of a meaning contrary to what I have here expressed cause you to doubt for one moment the truths that Jesus and your band have been teaching you. You are wonderfully favored in having such a teacher, and I believe that the result will be that when you shall have received his messages and transmitted them to the world, spiritualism will become the religion of the whole earth. This is my belief, and it is founded on the fact that it will then teach, besides the continuity of life and spirit communication, the great truths that will show men the absolute necessity of following these teachings of the Master in order to become the true children of the Father and be received by him in his kingdom of love and divine existence. I must not take up more time now, but will write you again, if permitted. Yes, it is. Well, I thought that you wrote Eugene. I cannot see what you have written at the time of its being written, and when I guide your hand and impress your brain, I think that you have written as I intended. Eugene Crowell, that is my name. The writing of Edward was not what I intended. Yes, in 1886, at San Francisco, California. This is true, and you will find an account of my passing over in the newspapers of June 7, 1886, in the San Francisco newspapers. So examine for yourself and you will find what I say to be true. 8 Well, I will say good night. Your recent spirit friend, Eugene Crowell. 8 Sadly, this date appears wrong, evidencing the difficulty in correctly receiving dates. It would appear that the date of death of Dr. Eugene Crowell, author of The Spirit World, Its inhabitants' nature and philosophy is October 30, 1894. The Paget messages 1915. I am here, your father. Well, my son, I have not written you for some time as you have not given me the opportunity, but it was best as you have received much valuable information from the others that have written you. Well, I am still your guardian angel and will be as long as you live on earth. I know that Helen is with you very much of the time, and of course is much more interested in you than any of us and tries so hard to make you happy. Nevertheless, she is not your guardian angel. White Eagle is your guide in a great many things and is faithful one too, but he is not the one designated by the higher powers to perform the duties of a guardian angel. So do not think that I am not with you trying to help and sustain you in your troubles and cares, for I am. We are all so much interested in you, that you are never alone even while you sleep. Even Mr. Riddle and Professor Salyards are with you a great deal trying to influence you in your earthly affairs. The last writer was the spirit of the man who wrote the book that you are reading. I did not know him until he came to write and introduced himself as the author of the book and said that Jesus recommended him. Of course we consented for him to write. He is a spirit of the fifth sphere where I live and I shall see more of him now, and it may be that he will join our band, for he is wonderfully intellectual man and well versed in spiritual truths. Yes. He is not filled with this great love as are your grandmother and mother and Helen. But he will make a desirable addition, and I believe that all the band will consent, especially as Jesus has recommended him. Yes, I am glad to say that Alice is now in the third sphere, and she is praying with all her soul for more love. She is a beautiful spirit. Yes, she does, and she loves you very much, for your kind thoughts, and is with me very often, when I am with you. Call her Laura or Sola. Yes, look at your writings and you will see. Yes, they are still praying and I see them quite often. Mackie is progressing more rapidly than any of them. Taggart is progressing, but he is so hard to convince, but sooner or later he will be convinced and then he will advance rapidly. Harvey is held back by his disappointment in not receiving what the priests had told him on earth. And McNally is still in darkness. His awful habit of drink has resulted in keeping him in this darkness, but he is praying also. And we all hope that they will see the light. Yes, especially Taggart, who says that he would like to have another talk with you 81, before long, and he wants to ask you some questions and maybe you can answer them so that some of his doubts may be removed. Yes, she, Mrs. E., is not very happy and has not yet fully realized that she is in the spirit world exclusively. But Helen is with her very much and is trying to assist her to see the light and turn her thoughts to things spiritual. Well, I must stop, so good night, my dear son. Your loving father, John H. Paget. March 19, 1915. I am here, Samuel R. Phillips. I was an acquaintance of yours and a lawyer as you will remember, and I desire to ask you to give me some assistance in getting out of this condition of darkness in which I am now living. Well, I have heard other spirits say that you have helped them, and so I came, and remembering that I was your brother lawyer on earth and had an acquaintance with you, I presume that you would not refuse to assist me. Yes, R., that is correct. I don't know why I am in darkness, except that I did not develop my spiritual nature when on earth. I did not understand very much about spiritual things or the soul. And hence when I came to the spirit world I was a very unenlightened spirit. I cannot explain this thing. All I know is that I am in darkness and need light. Well, I was a member of the church but that did not mean that I knew anything of the truths of the spiritual things. I read the Bible and understood what it said, but I did not understand what it meant in the inner and spiritual sense. My religion was purely intellectual. And now I find that is not sufficient to relieve me from the darkness which I am now experiencing. Yes, I believed in God, but not in Jesus as a God, but thought him to be a very good and wonderful teacher. Well, as to prayer, I never gave much thought of it. Of course, as the people prayed in response to what the minister might read, I read too. But I never really prayed. It was all formal and not the longing of my heart as some have said a prayer should be. But I do not understand what prayer has to do with my present condition of darkness. Well, as I don't understand, I don't seem to appreciate what you say. Tell me more fully what you mean, so that I may make the effort to comprehend your meaning. The Paget Messages 1915. Well, I am happy in a way, but not as I expected. I believed that God was all goodness, and that all His children would be happy in the spirit world, but I find that I am not so. I am somewhat disappointed and also very much at a loss to understand. No. I have had no remorse or realization that I committed any very great sin on earth for which I should suffer here. Of course I was, I suppose, very much like other men who are not very immoral. I never indulged in immorality to any extent and tried to do the right thing towards my neighbor, and hence do not understand why I should have remorse or lashings of conscience. No. I never have tried to examine myself very much to learn how I compare with the ideal Christian as portrayed by the teachings of Jesus, but I will do so. There may be something in what you say, and it may be that I have not sought the truth as to the cause of my darkness. Yes, I see a number of spirits who seem to be in darkness also, and who say that they are anxious and waiting to talk to you. Well, I do see some bright spirits and they certainly are beautiful, and seem so loving. Why they look at me with great eyes of love and sympathy, as if they would like to help me. Well, I am surprised, for there is Riddle, my old friend and brother lawyer. Why is he so bright and beautiful? He thought, when on earth, very much as I did about the things of the spiritual world. He says that he is glad to see me, and invites me to go with him, for a talk, and I will go. So my dear friend, I will say to you, good night, and good luck. Samuel R. Phillips, March 22, 1915. I am here, Garfield. I am J. A. Garfield, your old partner's friend. I want to say that you are a very much favored man in having so many spirits of such high degree of development interested in you and your work as a medium. I have been with Mr. Riddle a great deal, and he tells me of the wonderful powers you have received in taking these communications, and the wonderful truths that have been communicated to you, and what great faith you have in prayer to the Father. So you see, I am interested also, and wish to say something regarding this spirit life and my experiences as a spirit. I am now in the third spirit sphere where Riddle is, and he and I frequently converse about these matters, and are seeking the truths with all 82, our minds and souls. Well, I only know this way as a believer in the doctrines of my church, and what I have learned in addition since coming over here. I am not a believer in all that the Bible teaches, but only in the things that appeal to my reason. My faith in prayer is not very strong, nor in the possibility of becoming a spirit who may receive any great help from the operations of the Holy Spirit, which, as Riddle says, is the only influence that can surely redeem me from my sins or the result of them, and make me one with the Father. I cannot comprehend this teaching, and unless my reason can be convinced, I cannot be persuaded to accept the teaching as true. So you see, I am still in the position that I was on earth, that is, unless my reason tells me that such a thing is true, I cannot believe. That may be so. But how can I do that? I am not a child who can believe everything that is told me, just because someone else says that it is true. No, I must learn from my own investigations. Yes, there seems to be some force in that. But how can I use the instruments or faculties of the soul when I don't realize that they exist? Or how can I attempt to investigate any truths when, as you say, the means necessary to be used in such investigation I have no knowledge of? Well, you might be right, I may be wrong. I will ask Riddle about these matters with an unbiased mind and listen to him attentively. Well, I perceive that you have great faith in the existence of these truths, and I promise you to devote my whole efforts to searching for the truth. I have met some of them, Mr. Paget's band, and they are all very beautiful and happy, especially your wife. She is a wonderfully beautiful spirit and so very loving and kind. I have talked with her a number of times, and she has told me of the wonderful love of the Father, as she calls it, but I thought that she was only an enthusiast, and a believer in some doctrine that the young could easily believe, and make by their faith a reality. Question and answer: no, but I will. I will ask for an interview with your grandmother, and I have no doubt that she will grant it. I will listen to her, as you say. I do not know who you mean. When on earth I considered Jesus such a one as you describe, but I have not seen him here. Well, I am surprised, I must say,